Hi, it's Larry Herb, Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. You've liked, you've subscribed, you've done all the things you need to do. Now all I need to do is bring in the co-hosts. So, Jeff and
what
Rebecca,
a segue.
Good to see you.
Great work, Larry.
Well, you know, it's not my first rodeo, but good to see you guys. Welcome back this week. Here we are in, wow, it's July.
It's a short week, too.
Yeah. Well, at least here in the U.S., because we had, you know, Independence Day on Monday, which you celebrated in New York, of course. Rebecca and Jeff and I were out here in Seattle, and wherever you are, you are. So, but yeah, it is a short week, but I can't believe we're over halfway through 2022.
Oh, wow. Yep. When you put it that way.
Yeah, it just feels like it just started. But we've had a busy week of gaming. Jeff, I know you've got, I see the Cupheads behind you.
That's a mug man right there.
Yeah, let's. Well, now there they. Oh, there's the whole family.
Yeah, well, I got to use the guy with the bigger
nose. What's her name? Okay, what's her name in the middle?
Miss Chalice. Miss Chalice is her name.
Miss Chalice. That's right.
But what have you, Jeff? Clearly, you've been playing Cuphead. What else have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing it just not very well. So that's what it turns out.
Therein lies the problem with Cuphead.
How are you liking the new DLC?
So, I mean, it's beautiful. There's new animations, new music. We actually have a really good feature on the music that Mike from Xbox Wire had written along with MDHR is amazing. They're so talented. They're the developers up in Canada.
To me, they are very talented, Jeff, but they have such a knack for capturing that 1930s, 1940s era in terms of music and style and animation, the whole thing. So they are just geniuses.
The film grain and even making you know, things look old. So I went back through and I was like way out of practice. I jumped into one of the new bosses and got just embarrassed. And it reminded me of like when I was a kid. And I guess these type of games are kind of like that, where it was like you would have like the Contra without the up, up, down, down code, or Russian Attack, or Metal Slug, where it was like the arcade versions of those. It was like you would pop a quarter in, and it was like 30 seconds later, I was like, I'm done. And then I just have to like hang out by the machine so I don't have to hear it from my mom. Like, wait, you're already dead. Like, just the amount it's a hard game.
Then you had to look over someone else's shoulder and figure out how to do it, and then put the quarter back up and wait in line again.
I was like six. I wanted more quarters and I wasn't going to get them. And this kind of reminds me of that. It was just like, whoa, how am I dead already?
But you have all the quarters.
It's true. I do have all the quarters, so I have nothing to blame but my own slowing reflexes. So I went back and I played from the beginning, like with the initial like carrot boss, carrot and onion boss, and everything at the island one. But bringing the new character, Miss Chalice. So there's like basically a cookie that you can have, a supernatural cookie that will enable Cuphead or Mugman to, in that level, turn into her. She has an extra hit point by default, which gives you four. She has a dash, which is a sort of a parry dash, so it makes you invincible, which is great. She's got a double jump. I was like, with all of this, man, I'm going to be so good at this
double
game.
Jump.
I'm going
to do
it. Yes.
Well, we talked about it last week in the interview with the team from there.
I'm still not good. I'm still, I've gotten worse, and so I need to spend more time with it. But wow, I just was humbled. I have to say that. So it's a beautiful game. It looks amazing, and I hope I get to see all of it.
So you played Cuphead, and then you quickly, because I've been noticing your presence every time I boot up my console. There's always there's Jeff Rubenstein, Yakuza, and I'm like, this has to be a bug because you're always playing the game.
It's not a bug. I think I'm at the sort of the bitter end of Yakuza 5, and these games they bring me in and I'm like all the way in. And
you roll up your sleeves and we lose you for days.
It's true. It's true. And it's all I want to play or think about. And so I'm looking, by next time we talk, I should have beaten Yakuza 5. And then I'll only have one Yakuza game that I have not played, and I'm sort of saving it. And it's sort of like, if you know something is going to be amazing and you're just like, well, I'm not going to watch it. Like if you were saving the last couple of episodes of Stranger Things.
Yeah,
exactly. And you're like, I'm not ready to watch it yet, because then that means I'm done. And that's what I've been doing with these. So I've been parceling it out, and I may not play Yakuza 6 this year because I'm going to parcel out. Once I'm done. You can only play through them for the first time.
We've all had those games, and I'm sure Rebecca, you've had those games where you're like, you don't want it to end and you wish you could. You know, you get jealous because people get to experience that game or that level again, right?
Well, do you know that there's not going to be a Yakuza 7? Like, is the sixth one the last one?
No, well, it's the last one in this story arc of Kiryu, and they were, you know, sort of clear about that. Yeah, I've played Yakuza 7 because it starts with a new hero, and I've played the spinoffs, and, you know, I don't know what'll be coming next from that team, whatever it is, I will instantly play it. But I know that that particular arc will be done at that point, and I'm in no rush to be done.
Just savor it. Savor it.
Yes. Yeah.
And speaking of which, just to tie a bow on it, the Yakuza, a few of the first three games, Yakuza 0, 1, and 2, Kiwami 1 and 2, had fallen out of Game Pass a few months ago, but they're back in, so they're all there. So join me in my Yakuza cult and enjoy. Look at that, Larry. They're so good. Zero nice is, work, is still among the best ones, if not the best one. So once you start there, you'll either be like, I don't get it, or you'll be all in all the way. Yep. And I love hearing, because I hear from people lost all the time on Twitter, and they're like, you were right, man. And I'm like, I can't take the credit. All I can do is share the joy. And that's what I'm doing.
You are probably their number one influencer. I'm going to say it.
I think that would be Brittany Brombacker, blonde nerd.
Which we've had Britt on before, yeah.
Yes, and she might be the number one influencer, but I'm happy to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I know how that is. But what else? You've got Cuphead, you've got Yakuza. That's been keeping your plate full this week, hasn't it?
Yeah, just still playing through Overwatch beta 2 with my daughter. She's off for the summer, so we're playing a lot of stuff together. We're still making our way through It Takes Two, which is just such a lovely game. Another game where we're like in no rush to beat it. So from time to time, we'll sit down, we'll play a little bit further. We're into some like space thing going on now, so I don't know where that is in the game, but enjoying that. But really a lot of Overwatch 2, and we're finally getting to the point where we get it, and we're starting to play better, because it really was quite the shift from the way it plays much faster than Overwatch 1. So looking forward to continuing. I think there's another 2 weeks of the beta, and we'll be playing that for two more
we've
weeks.
Had some, I've jumped in with you and your daughter a little bit. We've had some fun with that. So
let's do more.
So Rebecca, I have to ask you a question. I was noticing, because I have you on my friends list. Mm-hmm. What were you playing last week? So it was a very, I kind of did a double take, and I was like, is that a bug? What were you playing? Which is House Flipper?
I've been playing that this week.
Okay.
I just downloaded it a few days ago. Wait, first, who's better at Overwatch, Jeff or his daughter, since you've played with both of them?
It's kind of hard to describe, because for those of you that have played Overwatch, you know it's class-based. So she picks a particular class, and Jeff picks his particular class. And so they're both good in that class.
Here, what I would say is someone is only improving and only getting better and, you know, coming to their own. And someone is only getting slower and older. And I don't know which is which. It's not for me to say. Uh-huh. But
I will say this, Rebecca, though, to your point. His daughter is very, very competitive. So.
Yeah, I know. I've heard her in the background a couple times when we've been playing, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's good. She's got that fiery youth passion, whereas Jeff, I mean, I don't want to assume who's the one getting older and slower, but
So don't.
Yeah. back to your question, Larry. Yes. House Flipper. Briefly talked about it on last week's podcast, out on Game Pass. I actually, like, it's kind of a small thing. I hurt my hand playing volleyball. Nothing serious, just like a small sprain, it's like just like you can see this thumb is like this area is a lot swollen. So moving the right thumbstick is a little uncomfortable right now. Also, I just never realized how much I use my right hand for things like even just texting, unlocking my phone. It's like, ugh. Anyway,
it's a chore.
So, yeah. But so House Flipper, the moves are pretty simple. You know, you mostly use the left stick to kind of move around and look. I guess you use the right stick a little bit too, but nothing too crazy. And then just the right trigger. The controls are really simple. You know, I know that we've talked about like the lawn mowing simulator.
Yeah.
And kind of those games that are designed maybe a little bit more for like the, you know, that feeling of like the small sense of accomplishment and, you know, kind of making things clean. And I haven't really thought that that would be my cup of tea, but I'm actually really enjoying
it. So are you a real estate maven now? Are you buying these houses and flipping them? Tell me about it.
No, it's weird. So right now, so you start out and you like, you have this horrible little shack and you have a desk and you have a laptop, and the laptop looks just like my personal laptop that I have. And so I, at first I walked out to it and I'm like, wow, this is very meta. Yeah, so you open your inbox and you have emails from people who are basically wanting to hire you as a like cleaner or like a renovator to do things. Starts out with really small tasks, you know, like replace my radiator, clean my garage, but don't move my husband's tools.
So you're a handy person.
Yeah, you're kind of a handy person, and that's how you're going around. It's a lot of cleaning, mm-hmm. But actually I like that kind of cleaning. Like, so just to be really specific, so like you have to clean a window at one point. And when you clean the window, you have to like hold this tool and get all of the different.
It's called
like,
a squeegee.
It's right. The squeegee. And you have to be really like, you have to get all of the spots. Whereas normally you have like a mop and then you kind of have this big area and you kind of hover over the area and then it just goes away. You don't have to like.
Right.
Sorry, I'm getting way too specific now. Anyway, long story short, you go around, you clean and you do like all these different tasks for different neighbors and people with bigger houses, and then you get money and then you use that money and then you can fix up your own house. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't actually fixed up my own house yet. I've just been going around cleaning everyone else's houses and saving up money. So that way it's like, you know, I don't want to bother with buying the low tier furniture and stuff. Right. Like I want to do it big when I'm ready. So I want to save up a lot of money and have a nice house. So I like it.
I expect that next week at this time, you're going to be Rebecca Realty, the real estate maven of the Upper West Side or something like that.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. That's going to be the goal. So hopefully I'll have a nice mansion to show off by next week's
business
episode.
Cards with your picture on it. Why do they always have pictures on their business cards, real estate agents? I never understood that.
I guess they want you to, I'm guessing they want you to have that like personal feel and be like, oh, this is the person I'm really talking to. Because aren't there some places, like I think in Europe, I've gotten a couple business cards, like for like reporters or like other PR people that have their face on them. And I'm like, this is very strange. But
maybe you're right.
I don't know. Just that personal connection.
So the goal is, you know, you're saving up your money. Now, will you just continue to invest in your house, or will you, as the game title, will you flip your house and buy one of the neighbor's houses, or how does that work?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. So okay. I'm still pretty early on. I'll get back to you. Okay. Yeah, I'll let you know how my real estate journey continues. But what about you, Larry? What have you been up to?
I've been playing a little, you know, my Halo, getting my challenges out of the way. Need to get in with Jeff on Overwatch. Let's see. Oh, Sniper Elite. Mm-hmm.
Larry, go on.
Why is that so funny? Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know, because let me text this to you.
You can tell the story. You can tell the story.
You sure? Larry. Okay.
I think it's fine. Hitler's dead. We're cool with it. In fact, we're better off.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell the story.
Okay.
Jeff and I played a little bit of it, and I'd love to play with you if you're interested, Becca, but it's a really tactical game. You can run and gun. We talked about it on previous shows, and one of the downloadable content, the mission is kill Hitler. You know, at the Eagle's Nest, at one of his, the Berghof. So, you know, I've been playing it for about 3 or 4 days, and I play like a half hour each, and it's nice to kind of clear out an area and get closer to where he is, where you think he is, you know? So I'm going through it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just getting frustrated because I want to run in there. So I run in, and all of the alarm bells are ringing, and all the soldiers are coming in after, and I'm hiding in a closet. And just as I'm hiding in the closet, this gold star pops up on the map, which is right around the corner, and it says kill Hitler. So I'm like, oh, he's right there. So let me, I load all up, I health up, you know, get ready. I'm going in Rambo style. I come around the corner, and he's kneeling, but with a handgun. So he sees me and he starts shooting at me, and I just take the automatic weapon I have and go burr, burr, and the achievement pops, and it's the name of it is do you have it in front of you, Jeff? Can you read the
I do, as a matter of fact, Larry, because you texted it to me.
Could you read the name of the German name of the
I apologize for my poor German pronunciation. Das Familienjewel.
So that achievement is a rare achievement. Only 0.28% of gamers have unlocked it, and it is kill Hitler with a testicle shot.
So, oh my god!
So that was I didn't know that achievement existed, and it was to my
surprise. If that doesn't sell you on the DLC, what would?
So that was
wow. Fact,
yeah, here it is. It's
see, this is like one of those random things I love about the gaming industry. There are just so many like little jokes.
Now,
well,
the funny
I shouldn't
thing
say too
is,
little, but anyway.
The funny thing is I got the achievement, but the soldiers had come in on me so quickly that I died. So I got the achievement and died. So
mission accomplished.
No, as far as the game's concerned.
Did it count?
I never killed him. So when I booted the game back up, it had me all the way out there. And so I had to go in and I kind of knew roughly where to look and kill them. Yeah. And basically,
but at least you got the achievement.
Right. And then I got all the other achievements because I finished the mission proper and got out of the area, which is anyway. So that was
wow.
But it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, OK, that was fun.
And they predicted this might happen.
So wait, but 0.28, I would have thought it would be like 0.028 even. Like, that just seems so.
Yeah, it does seem very, very random. But yeah, it's I mean, maybe it's different now. I'll have to go take a look. But that's what it was when I popped it.
It'll go. It's going to that percentage is going to go up this week. I'll tell you that.
We're going to. Wow. Apparently, I'm now a Kill Hitler influencer. Lovely.
Wow. That's nuts, Larry. Yeah,
so anyway, playing that Fall Guys. I went back into Fall Guys. You know, if you follow Jeff on if you follow Jeff on Twitter, and if you don't follow Jeff and Rebecca, you should. Then Jeff gave the PSA to go unlock. What was it? It was a bunny suit, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, it's a perk that is available. So if you go, all you got to do is you hit your Xbox button, and then that will bring up the guide, and then you'll see a Game Pass square at the bottom. So you just hit right trigger, it takes you to the bottom, and go over to Game Pass, and then you go into perks, which you'll see over there, usually underneath the first couple of games. And you go into there, and there's all kinds of like unlockables that you just get as being part of Xbox.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
And yeah, and there's a bunny perk, a bunny suit perk. So if you're recently new to Fall Guys, and you're just running around with those spike bracelets still, and it's like very obvious you're very new, this will, you know, gussy you up a little bit and give you a little something new for your bean.
And you'll look good. You'll look good.
And of course, there was the whole Master Chief challenge, and you were able to unlock. I know that there was a Master Chief suit and a grunt as well for you.
I didn't unlock it. I went in and I was kind of churning through to unlock it. Mm-hmm. And I did, by the way, I meant to tell you, I did get a crown.
You did. Aww.
But I was doing it with duos. It was with a random person. I have to go look him up. Thank you
they
very much.
They carried you.
Yeah, he carried me.
Still counts.
He was on fire. So, but I ended up getting the crown and it, at least in a duos capacity. So
still counts. Still counts.
Very nice.
The way that goes.
Well done.
So that's kind of what I've been focused on this week. Jeff, I know we've got some news there, and then we've got this interview with the game director of A Plague Tale, so we should probably talk about that. But let's jump into the news. What do you got there?
Sure. So, Rebecca, I think the most important part of house flipping, underrated, it's making sure you go out there with a power washer and you clean off the sidewalk in front. You get that driveway. Well, I got the game for you. Because it's part of the new batch of games that was just announced for Game Pass that are coming to Game Pass. Power Wash Simulator is one of them. This is actually a really good set of games here. I'm very excited about what we've got coming here. So I can't call them all out because we've got a dozen games added. I already talked about the three Yakuzas that are sort of complete the whole set of Yakuza games. Get on that. But there's Power Wash Simulator, which I've heard great things out on PC earlier this year, but it's coming out also on cloud and console, and that will be available on July 14th. So yep. Bastille Day. We're celebrating Bastille Day by power washing the driveway. Actually, a number of games coming out on July 14th. It's actually my niece's first birthday, so hopefully she'll be excited by the fact that my friend Peppa Pig and Paw Patrol, the movie Adventure City Calls, are also coming out. So great, you know, if the kids are home for the summer, you want some new games for them. You still get achievements here. In fact, I think Ray Narvaez, who is one of the top gamer score people in the world, he recently hit 2 million. He got number gamer score 2 million. That achievement was in Peppa Pig. So that's as ringing an endorsement as I can find. He made it to Potato City. And if you've watched the show, Larry, does your daughter watch Peppa Pig?
No.
Well, it's a good show. My kid went for a little bit.
No, I harbored the idea.
She does very limited screen time. Very limited.
That my daughter would pick up a British accent if she watched Peppa Pig early on. And she did for like the first time, because we say ready, set, go. Like if you're starting a race, they say ready, steady, go. And she actually said ready, steady, go. I was like, we got it. But that was it.
I will say this, though.
She doesn't call me. She didn't call her mom mummy. Yes, go on.
To Peppa Pig, when I was down in Australia, the lovely folks in Australia sent back a care package for my daughter. And one of them was a character called Bluey, which is a Australian kids show. And it was there were some books and there was a Bluey character, B-L-U-E-Y. And so
what color is he?
Yeah, I believe he's blue. And
so it's like a blue healer dog.
Yeah. So cute. So we've watched a couple of episodes of that. So she enjoys Bluey, but it was kind of it's actually quite good. So anyway, back to Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig next. And then you can play the game. Okay. So but before that, that's July 14th. So available now, those Yakuza games. A game called Last Call BBS, which is the last game that Zachtronix is going to be making.
I am really excited about this one.
Okay. Yeah. So I want you to play it and let us know next
week. Which one?
It's
Last
this one,
Call.
Lower right. And this is, if I'm reading it correctly, so this is a little bit back in the day. Do you have the description in front of you, Jeff?
The barkeep has loaded up his retro computer with a full set of puzzle games for you to download and play. No need to worry about copy protection. They're all fully cracked and ready to enjoy. That would mean stuff to you if you played games in like the 80s and the early 90s.
So when I was in the early 80s, when you wanted to go online, Rebecca and Jeff, some people may know this, the older members of the audience may remember, you had to have a modem. You know, this is certainly remember the 90s with AOL and mom picking up the phone. But in prior to the internet proper being public and widely available, we had bulletin board systems, BBSs. And you had to have a modem, of course, and you were dialing directly into a computer, usually in someone's house. So they only had like four or five lines, and you could dial into it, and pee wee wee, and they would come up all text, and you'd navigate it, and there'd be, you know, you could have message boards, and you could download things. So when I saw this and I saw that you had to dial in and, you know, ADDT, which is automatic dial touch tone, and then you'd have to type in the number. It was all command line based. You would dial in and have fun. And that's how you got connected to somebody.
Rebecca, do you know what he's talking about? Over, so.
There are people right now listening to this that are going, oh, I remember.
They're nodding vigorously.
And okay. What I will not be sharing
it's
with
like
you
five
is,
people.
I will not be sharing with you my bulletin board username. So I will just, I had one that was on all the boards and I'll just leave it.
If you're not, I think there's probably a reason for it. I'm not going to drag
fact,
you into it,
in fact,
but let us know about the game.
Let us, we're, you know, what do you think? Maybe we should put this in the Spotify question. What do you think my bulletin
like
board username was or should be back in the 80s? So that's what it'll be.
Ooh. Well, I mean, were you just like Sergeant Nelson back then, or
it was not private related at all?
Yeah, Private Nelson.
Come on, I was a punk teenager, so I'll let you figure that part out. So,
okay.
Anyway, right. Jeff, sorry.
Continue all right, back on. To the Game Pass. I was a big fan of Top Spin Tennis back on the OG Xbox days. I really love that game. Poured a lot of time, so I'm very excited about Match Point Tennis Championships. I don't feel like I've played a new tennis game in quite some time, so looking forward to that. And then Escape Academy also on July 14th. This is a game that got a lot of great buzz over at Key 3 at the Play Days. A lot of people were playing this. If you've ever been to an escape room, people who designed escape rooms designed some virtual escape rooms to play through in this game. And it's all these games are coming to Game Pass, so a lot to play over the course of the next few weeks. So that's exciting.
You know, it's so random, but I remember back when we used to have like, you know, in-person conventions, I would go to PAX Prime, PAX West in Seattle every year with my friends. And I don't know how I got dragged to what I thought was the most obscure and random panel. And it was how to create your own escape room business. Huh. And it was a panel just about that. And I was like, why am I going to this? But
what did
it
you learn?
Had a... I mean, I'm pretty sure I was just on my phone the whole time, but it had really good attendance. That's what I was getting to. Like the room was actually packed. I was like, I had no idea there was so much. I mean, it makes sense in Seattle. There are a lot of nerds in Seattle. I could say that because I love all the nerds in Seattle. But thought that was so. Yeah, like I went to my fair share of escape rooms. I knew what was, this escape room was too easy or, you know, whatever. Yeah, I think the best one I ever went to was one that was like a zombie one. And there was a girl who was an actress playing a zombie in the middle of the room. And every like 5 minutes, the chain that she was on would get longer and longer. And that one was really good. And she really went for it. So anyway, random thing about escape rooms. So just, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So another game coming up, which we'll probably talk about, you know, whenever the next batch of Game Pass games is. So on July 19th, As Dusk Falls will be available via Game Pass. But very excited about this one from Interior Night. It's a narrative game where you're going to be making choices that could make the difference between live or die. It's a robbery gone wrong in a small town game. Well, you've played narrative games, I'm sure, before, but what makes this very interesting and different, besides the story, which I'm hearing good things about, is the multiplayer aspect. And there's a local co-op, there's online co-op, and there's also a Twitch version. Yes, Larry.
But Jeff, it's important to point out is that multiplayer, as we kind of traditionally think about it, is slightly different in this game.
It's not an FPS, Larry. It's a story game. So, yes, it will be a lot different. You're basically making decisions. Gameplay is making decisions, and you'll be able to play with other people. And you may make different decisions than them, and then you can override each other. And so anyway, there's a lot of different permutations here. I think it'd be really cool as we see people either sitting down and playing on the sofa. There's an app so that you can play with other folks that maybe aren't even comfortable with a controller in their hand. We've seen stuff like this, like with Drawful and the
Jackbox stuff. Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that brings people into the game that are not, didn't consider themselves gamers. Well, this is going to be one of those things I'm looking forward to playing in my house with this one. Probably not my daughter, a little too young for it, but definitely playing with my wife. But then also, I think it'd be really cool seeing folks on Twitch play this and being able to interact with their audience. We know that the chat is going to pick the most ridiculous choices, and so that'll be really fun to see the reactions to that. Anyway, it comes out July 19th, but we have up on Xbox Wire now all the different permutations of how you can play multiplayer there, and you'll be able to work through it and figure out who do I want to play with, and how am I going to do it. And I think this is going to be like a really fun, like a party game in a way, to really, even though the story is going to be pretty heavy, I think it'll be really fun.
Maybe we should stream it.
We should. That would be fun to play together.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. It's coming to Game Pass. We're working on an interview with the team coming up in the next couple of weeks as well.
Very cool. Just a couple other quick tidbits here. One, Age of Empires 4 Season 2 is coming. A lot of cool stuff coming in terms of remappable hotkeys, new map called The Pit, unlock campaigns, a color picker for different players. There's new map rotations. There's something called the Modern Monsters event. So that sounds kind of cool. And then also, here's a game that we haven't heard much from in quite some time, and that is Skull and Bones. So Skull and Bones was re-revealed by Ubisoft this week. It's a ship-to-ship action game, takes place in the 1600s in the Indian Ocean, and it is coming November 8th.
It looks like a more serious technical version of, you know, Sea of Thieves in terms of the ship. I don't know what anything about the game.
So Sea of Thieves is like a pirate simulator. You are the pirate, and you know, and you're on with your friends, and you're controlling different elements of the ship and bailing out water. This is all about naval combat.
More like Warhammer?
Yeah, so you're really, really focused on the ship, and there's you can craft and sail up to 12 different ships. So I think only at the most superficial level would these games be similar, but I think they're quite a bit different.
It's
a lot more like I think the idea from this came from Assassin's Creed 4, the Edward Kenway one, where you know you're sailing around the Caribbean and you know you would take over the ship, and people loved that. And I think it's like, what if that was a game?
Well, now it is, or at least that's where it came from.
Good. Coming November 8th. That, my friends, is the news.
All right. We've got a couple things. We've got an interview coming up here, and I'm really happy to share that with you. We've got Jeff is going to be talking with, let me see his name, Kevin Chateau. Did I pronounce that right, Jeff?
Chateau. He's not a house.
Chateau. Yes. And he's not a hat.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure he would love this. Love to hear this.
But Kevin is the game director for Plague Tale Requiem, and Jeff had a chance to talk with him and learn more about that. So let's take a look.
If you haven't played 2019's A Plague Tale: Innocence, well, it's available with Xbox Game Pass, so you were anything but innocent if you don't make the time to play it. And I highly recommend it on its own, sure, but especially so because its sequel, A Plague Tale: Requiem, is on its way, coming once again to Game Pass on October 18th, and it's also available for pre-order right now. Here to talk to us a little bit more about it the game director, Kevin Choteau, joining us from beautiful Bordeaux in France. Thanks so much for joining us, Kevin.
Thank you for having me.
Very, very glad to have you here. Very glad to be talking about one of the most anticipated games coming out this fall. It's been over 3 years since A Plague Tale: Innocence came out. It really, I think, captured a lot of hearts, mine included, following the tragic tale of Amicia and Hugo to survive war, to survive evils, both human and supernatural, I guess you could say. We've gone through a plague ourselves as well. How much time has passed for them, though, as we start A Plague Tale: Requiem?
So when we start Requiem, we join Amicia and Hugo like 6 months after the event of Plague Tale: Innocence. So they are almost the same age, a bit grown up, a bit more mature, I would say, because of the event of the first one. But yeah, it's soon after the event of the first one.
And where do we find ourselves now? Because they sort of were struggling to sort of escape with their lives, you know, through most of the game before sort of taking evil a little bit more head on and being able to, you know, make it through. Not so lucky for some of the other characters in the game, most of the other characters in the game. So where do they find themselves now in A Plague Tale: Requiem, and how does that change sort of just everything?
So the first one was based in Guyenne, so southwest France. Because of the event of the first one, this place is not very a place where you want to live now. It's infested with rats and death and bad memories, so they had to flee, to move out, and we will join them in Provence, so southeast France, and a bit of the Mediterranean Sea.
So I take it we're not going to be enjoying a fine glass of rosé because it looks like Amicia and Hugo have much to do here.
Not really. No, it's not the beautiful picture of the Provence, even if sometimes it's beautiful and you will enjoy the landscape of the Provence. It's really Plague Tale, so everything become very bad very fast.
So for most of Innocence, Amicia, I wouldn't say she's helpless, but she wasn't someone who could take on a soldier one-on-one very easily. She was a teenage girl with no battle experience, pretty good, you know, throwing things, but put in situations that she had never been in before, not a trained soldier. But there's an extended gameplay trailer, and we'll be looking at a little bit of this that you all revealed and shared with us last month. Here we go. And we can see right from the beginning, she's more formidable. She's got a crossbow on her back. And then later on in the footage, we'll see she's sneaking up. She's killing unwary guards. So how has she been changed from the events of the first game? And what does that lead to from a gameplay perspective and what she's capable of now?
So, because of, again, of the event of the first one, she's much more used to give deaths to people. Sadly, she had to make things to survive, bad things. And now she's prepared, I would say. She's ready to fight if something happens. She don't want to fight. She don't want to start this death loop again. But if she has to protect Hugo, to survive, she will. And of course, it will happen. But she will struggle with that. We will question that. Put her in a stressful situation where she had to make choice. And sometimes it will, very often actually, it will have an impact, an emotional, intellectual impact on her and on Hugo. So it's really a key point of Amicia, how far she will go and she will have to go to survive. And where is the limit, you know, where is the acceptable limit where she, when she starts to be the bad guy and not the good one anymore? It's really something that we will question in this game. And yeah, she start to use tools that are not children tools anymore. She was using the sling because the sling was a gift from her father. It was mostly a toy for her, but now she's using a crossbow. She's able to use knife. So it's not toys anymore. It's war weapon. So she will become much more aware than what she was.
And Hugo as well, while he's still very young, his powers, his connection with the rats seems to be developing as well. I know we saw on that footage right there, he seems to have a new ability, being able to sense the blood within the enemies, and it's helping with the stealth element. So, you know, what's going on with him, and how is he growing and changing?
So he has a connection with the rat, as we've seen in the first one. So he can sometimes control the rat when he's in a good state. He will learn to use them much more than what he was able to do in the first one. So he can sense what the rat sense, so see their vision. This is what we are seeing right now. But he will be also able to control them directly and use them as a rat or that can move everywhere and eat people. Very nervous, very frantic. But there's a limit to that. If you use it too much, it will happen. Very bad thing will happen again. It's really a thematic of a Black Tail. If you use too much the rats, more rats will arrive, and more rats, and more rats. And you've seen maybe in the trailer that sometime it will be far too much rats.
I'm very much of the opinion that one rat is too many rats. So you've gone well beyond that. So the rats, they are back, and they were huge part of the game in terms of not just the story but the gameplay, but also it was very technically impressive. If I think back to 2019,
thank you.
What you were able to do on the Xbox One X. Now you're getting to work on the Series X and the Series S. So what does that unlock for your team and in terms of fidelity?
Basically, it has unlocked like something like 100 times the number of what we had in the first one. So now we have up to 300,000 rats on the screen that can do those huge waves everywhere and destroy everything. And it's something that we were not able to do with the previous gen. So we are quite happy with that. It was a foundation idea of Requiem, pushing the rat further, you know, showing how they can destroy a city, a town, or much more. So we are quite happy with the power of this console to give this new flesh to the rats. Like you've seen that in the trailer again, but those 300,000 rats coming like a tsunami, destroying everything. It's super insane to discover in the game. So we are super happy with that, of course.
Yeah, I'm very very conflicted here because, you know, technically very impressive, but you know, that's far more rats than one would ever want to deal with. But of course, that's going to be really interesting to see how that comes together the game. So congratulations, thank you, but also 200,000 rats is a lot of rats. So something I think is very interesting is, you know, I played a Plague Tale Innocence when it first came out. I want to say it was like May of 2019. And shortly thereafter, we announced Microsoft Flight Simulator, which is also developed by Asobo. Now, the two games could not be more different. Not a single rat in all of my playthroughs of Microsoft Flight Simulator. But I'm curious, do the team share notes? And, you know, what learnings can come from a hyper-realistic simulator to a medieval stealth narrative game and together? So I'm just curious how the two, you know, the teams work together in that way.
I think the first thing that came in my mind is the fact that we have a super team of engineers. Obviously, they are able to do super techy things for Flight Simulator. You know, having the whole world in a game, it's a huge achievement with this super realistic rendering. And in the opposite direction, this super intimistic game that we are doing with a Plague Tale, but still with 300,000 rats on the screen that are moving. So we are sharing a lot of technological optimization, I would say, because those two games are huge in terms of performances or requirements for the hardware. And that's it. Patient, also. You know, it's we have two super dedicated team. Plectel team is almost the same team than in the first one, with newcomers, of course. But we are super passionate about narrative game, narrative adventure game. And the team on Fly Team is also obviously hyper passionate by planes and yeah, showcasing the world, doing those beautiful diorama of the world everywhere. We are blown up by the quality they are achieving on their side. It's like, it's an exchange between teams, you know. They show things, we show things, and we're always impressed and trying to beat them on next thing. So we're going to do better just to show off. It's a cool competition.
Yes, a very friendly rivalry, it sounds like. And it is very interesting to see different applications of tech and how they can make you feel very differently. Let's keep the rats and the planes as separate apart, if I may make that request, for as long as possible. Kevin, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your early evening to speak with us about A Plague Tale Requiem. We're going to be able to play it on October 18th, and we're looking forward to seeing more between now and then. It's really not that far away. So wishing you the best of luck in the final stretch here before launch, and we'll be talking much more about A Plague Tale Requiem here on the Xbox Podcast and on Xbox Wire.
Thank you to Kevin and also Jeff for that interview around Plague Tale Requiem. We never thank each other for doing these interviews, but...
Thank you. I appreciate that. One little tidbit, and I don't know why I thought this was funny, so it must not be. But so, you know, the night before the interview, I was watching all the footage they've revealed, and I was taking notes and figuring out what I was going to talk. And as I was taking my notes, I kept writing A Plague Tale, T-A-I-L.
Like, I did too.
Like an American tale, you know, because it was like with the
rats. Yeah.
And yeah. So I don't know. Maybe Fievel can make an appearance.
Somewhere I'm, out there.
Wait, I'm kind of okay. I hope this doesn't come off as insulting. I'm kind of surprised that you guys know the American tale movies, because I liked those when I was like a kid. And I thought that they were like kid movies. Are they not kid movies?
Well, okay, I'm going to flex a little bit here. So the producer and the director of animation there is Don Bluth, who is a legendary. He did, he did Dragon's Lair, one of the original video games with the disc. So Don Bluth is storied in the animation field. I am a big animation fan. So while I've seen the movie, I appreciate it from its art perspective. You know, there weren't many films back in those days that were non-Disney, because this was prior to computer animation had to be hand-drawn. So it was much more expensive to do it. So I'm a fan for what it is.
I was a kid when the first one came out, believe it or not. Okay. So you probably watched it. Like, I watched it on VHS and you probably watched it on DVD.
I had it on VHS too.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Classic.
I also played... there was an American Tale video game. Did you guys ever play
that? There was?
There was?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I remember, like at one point, there were some of the missions that were, like, on the boat, I'm pretty sure. And, like, I had to just match, like, different, like, mice couples together. Like, there would be, like, a female mouse in a pink dress.
Oh, yeah,
and
I'd
have to match her up with
the
male mouse.
On PS2, yep. 1986.
Yeah.
So.
1986? What?
Okay, I didn't play that one. I think I played on my dad's. I played lot of games on my dad's PC.
There were actually a few. The American Tale, there was a DOS one. There was a couple of other ones. So yeah, this is 1991, 1993. So yeah, there were quite a few video games. I did not know that. So
yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
It's good IP. I loved the Goes Out West one too. That was good.
Yeah, but if you ever get a chance, go look up Don Bluth, who is a legend in, he's like 85 years old now. He's a legend in he did Anastasia, All Dogs Go to Heaven, The Land Before Time, The Secret of Nim.
He did a lot of really good movies. Yeah. I forgot that there were so many good animated movies aside from Disney, too.
Right, exactly. To answer your question, that's kind of why I'm aware of it, because I followed the art form.
Yeah, cool. Well, anyway, sorry to go back to it, though.
Have you seen it in a while? Have you seen it in any recently?
No, I haven't. Are they as good as I remember?
I don't know. I think I've got them on my server that I should, my Plex server. Maybe I'll send you a link if you want to watch it. Because I ripped all my DVDs in and I had that.
You should watch them with your daughter, Larry.
You know what, Jeff? That is an excellent, excellent recommendation. Thank you.
You don't want her to be like peer pressured in school. And it's like, wait, you haven't seen The Land Before Time? You haven't seen Ferngully? You know,
you haven't played Dragon's Lair?
You haven't played Dragon's
Lair? The Secret of Nim, that one was scary, if I remember. Some of them were kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Ferngully also kind of scared me. I don't know.
Anyway.
That was a big chicken. But
wow, let's see. Oh, I have one other.
Way off course. I did have one other news item that I wanted to mention. So July, and this is a pretty new observation in the US, I think, at least for Microsoft. But so July is actually Disability Pride Month. So unrelated to Gay Pride, but Disability Pride, it's in July because I think July 26th is when the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed. Mm. And so that's why this month is about around just kind of embracing the disabilities that people have, talking more about them. I can't remember the statistic off the top of my head, but we all know that a strong majority of the disabilities that people have are not visible. You know, it's not as simple as, you know, missing a limb or any, you know, being in a wheelchair. There are a lot of things that are mental, that are, you know, not visible disabilities. So we actually have a blog post over on Xbox Wire that's talking about how Microsoft is supporting Disability Pride Month. I believe that there are a few different like resources for people with disabilities to help them navigate the gaming space that we're creating. There's also like a list of different games that you can play and kind of experience the perspective of someone with a disability. So something like Veil, Shadow of the Crown is entirely, it's like an audio-based adventure. And so you play as someone who's blind. And then there's Psychonauts, which obviously explores a lot of different mental disabilities. So recommend checking that out. We're hoping to get someone on the podcast. No promises yet. Yep. But just it's you know, great learning opportunity. You know, it's always good to try to learn more about someone who's outside of your perspective and gain some empathy there. So yeah check out Xbox Wire for more.
There's a great resource on there as well. Kind of scroll down. It's called the Family Gaming Database Accessibility page, which kind of it's kind of this, I think it's a crowdsourced database of all, you know, video games and how to basically make it better accessible and work with things like the adaptive controller and so forth. So ton of resources over there. So thank you for reminding us about that, Rebecca. And like you said, we'll work on getting an interview in the near future.
For sure.
All right.
What else we got, Larry?
Well, I think now that we've gone through the history of Don Bluth's Wikipedia page, I think we're all done. So
he's a big fan of the show.
Sure. Okay. Well, we'll let everybody go. If you guys have anything else, feel free to raise your hand. Otherwise, we're going to let folks go. Again, Jeff, thanks for the interview this week. We'll be back next week with some more interviews, more gaming news. Rebecca, are you around next week?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I'll report back on how my house is going.
Yeah, we expect you to be in a nice press jacket with a name tag on, so as you can be a nice real estate agent. So we're looking forward to your progress there. So, and Jeff,
all right,
we'll see you later. Bye-bye, everybody.